there's also something in sort of part of the human condition overall in that being in the moment, truly being present. You hear that word a lot, but there is an underlying science to it. Being present in the moment, having the phone in your pocket, not looking at distractions, but really, especially in an art form, where there's only going to be that moment of that show, and that's it. And if you're experiencing it, you're fully present for it, it's going to create a much more long-lasting memory than it will if you're sort of half paying attention, half checking notifications or scrolling through, because it's just become such a force of habit and a thirst for dopamine.
You know, 100%.
I was going to finish a thought. Back, I saw Elvis Costello at the Hanover Theater a couple of weeks ago, and the people that were working at the Hanover, the ushers and so forth, were very adamant in making people put their phones down, no photos. And it really actually made the show better because people are still sneaking photos and videos. It's human, you know, the way people behave. But for the most part, you didn't see screens in front of you the entire show. And he's playing songs that some were unreleased and had never been heard before by that audience. Some were real deep cuts that, you know, unless you went back to his obscured, you know, second album, 2014, you wouldn't know it. And you're only going to have that one moment when he's doing a tribute to Burt Bacharach. There's only going to be that one moment of the show that's going to be made indelible in your memory. And if you're distracted because you're caught up on the phone or whatever else, you're going to lose that. And that's a really sad missed opportunity.
Right. And I think it's the artist's job to remind the person that you are important enough to have these moments that you can't return to. It's okay to not be able to return to it by a video or a photo and just be in it. You deserve to be in it.
Yeah.
You know, in your life.
Yeah.
That's part of the job too in entertaining and in being an artist, is to keep people present.
For sure. And that's what we're there for. And I'm curious, there's a related notion here in that, you know, over the years, you've shared stages with a lot of notable luminaries, including Eddie Vedder, John Mellencamp, Neil Young, Willie Nelson. And I know, because I've known you for a while, I know you're a massive fan of music in general. You wouldn't have become a musician if you weren't. But as a huge fan of music, when you're on stage, are there moments when you're on stage with guys like that where you're like, I can't believe I'm doing this right now. I can't believe this is happening to me at this very moment. Is there like the 12-year-old Will that's like, holy smokes, this is, and using a different word, this is insane.
A couple times. Usually, though, when you're playing the music, it's just the being present and the naturalness of, and of course you hear, so it kind of leaves you, and afterwards you're backstage and you're like, wait, what? And then I can't find my words, and I can't walk straight, and I trip in front of whoever it is I'm playing with.
Yeah.
And all that. It's like in the moment of the music, it is just perfect and seamless, and you belong there, and it fits. But I remember one time I was playing with the veteran, and he introduced me. And I'm going to have to walk on stage. And I was like, I cannot cry right now. You know, but then once I got my guitar in my hand, it's like, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm going to play music. You know, your music just grounds you immediately.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the experience with all those things. I remember trying to watch the Pretenders side stage with Neil Young. And I was like, do I say anything about how awesome the Pretenders are? And now we're just sitting here watching on the side of stage and kind of dancing together. I was like, no, I don't. And I was like, am I watching The Pretenders, or am I just thinking about standing next to Neil Young watching The Pretenders? What, you know? But if I was playing music, I wouldn't have any of those thoughts. I would just been playing music.
Yeah. A quick aside, a friend of mine I work with at an agency was backstage, was somehow involved with Hot Stove Cold Music, and was backstage and was wandering around looking for a beer. And wanders into a dressing room and opens a fridge and grabs a beer. And turns out it's Vedder's dressing room. And Vedder kind of looks up and is like, you know, help yourself, man, go for it. And my friend Steve was normally very smooth, but just couldn't get a word out to save his life. It was just like,
right.
Thanks. And walked away with his beer. Didn't even think to like maybe stop and have a conversation. And I can't say I wouldn't do the same. I mean, you know, I have a Pearl Jam tattoo on my inner bicep. I mean, you know, I'm also in that same vein.
You have to show that to me at the show.
I will. Yeah, I have the Alive Guy tattoo.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'll show it to you on April 6th. Something else I'm curious about, because in addition, obviously you're a full-time musician, but you've also taken on a second job as a podcast host, and Sound of Our Town Season 2 is coming May 11th. So for number one, for any WSN listeners that aren't familiar with Sound of Your Town, and I can't imagine anyone listening to Against the Grain tonight isn't already familiar, but there may be one or two, how does the podcast influence the music you're creating now, or does it influence the music that you're creating now, after going and spending time and soaking up the musical vibe of all these different cities?
Well, it makes me appreciate the fact that every city has their oh, this place is terrible in the art culture, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It has, you had like your unrelenting love and then your begrudging view of it as well. And the grass is always greener somewhere else kind of vibe. And it's the people who decide to love the one you're with that really lift up the scene. And so it's helped inform me to just be grateful for playing music anywhere. And I think Massachusetts and Boston and Worcester and Northampton can all be tough places for a number of reasons. But there's just something beautiful about each spot. And the one thing that does concern me, it, not only the risk to independent venues around the country right now, especially post-pandemic.
Yeah.
Look, you get off at any airport in the world now, and it gets harder and harder to tell what country you're in, never mind what state. And you get down a Main Street anywhere, and it's a bank, a Starbucks, right, an Olive Garden. And we're just homogenizing our statement of who we are from town to town, city to city. And I think music is a place to really look to instill that we are saying who we are by the places where art happens. And if you have that, then the restaurant can thrive next door and the coffee shop after that.
Yeah.
And so that's the one thing that the show has instilled in me, is how important these places are. I knew it, but man, we'll get really bored with our country and the world if we don't value this over the big halls and you know, the Ticketmaster type spots, which don't tell a story of who we are.
Yeah, and agreed, and especially for the smaller rooms where up and coming bands, and you see, you know, loaded bills. Because that's where you cut your teeth. That's where you get familiar, mm-hmm, with playing live and being in front of an audience. And you need those incubators for the community and for a city like Worcester. And, you know, obviously I'm a booster of my hometown. But for a city like Worcester that's going through a massive growth spurt and has been over the last decade, but really the last few years, the growth has been extraordinary in how it's accelerated. And because of that, there's gentrification that happens in traditional neighborhoods where it was easy and cheap for a room to open up, bands to play, mm-hmm, and have a community. And now, to your point, they get replaced by the banks, the corporate chains, the safe rooms that are going to, you know, open to 500 to 1,000 people that, you know, can accommodate a bigger artist or a bigger name artist, at least. And you lose those smaller places that especially young bands would go to, and like, as I said, to cut their teeth. And that's one of the sort of sadder things. There's still basement shows and all that stuff happening. But, you know, I'm at an age where I'm not going to a basement show. I want to go to a club, and I'd like to be out of there, you know, by 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
It would be a shame if we lost some of that. But I would encourage, if you're listening to WICN now, and not during this show, of course, but after the show, by all means, check out Sound of Our Town. The first season's out there, and season two is coming.
Yeah.
And yep, for all of you listening right now, and for you, Will Daly, I'm very excited to see you once again in person. April 6th, it's a Thursday, 7 o'clock at Club 321 at Mechanics Hall. Doors open at 6:15. Tickets are available now at mechanicshall.org. They're $18 a piece, $20 at the door, assuming it's not sold out in advance, which it very well may be. They're going quickly. Get yours now. The $10 song tour is coming to Worcester. Will, thank you so much for joining me on Against the Grain tonight.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait for this show.
It's going to be a blast, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Got me pumped up. First show of the tour.
Really?
Yeah.
Tour opener. You heard that, everybody. So, you know, be there early because you never know what kind of surprises we may get.
Exactly.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And this is Will Daly here at 90.5 WICN.